The Rancor's Brothel presents a Dungeons & Dragons adventure. Nev Thelian.
I can't believe people have stayed quiet this long. Holy shit. Okay, we're working. Hello everybody and welcome to the Rancor's Brothel. If for some reason you didn't pay attention to the post or to the new intro or to anything else, we're trying something a little new this time. Very excited to introduce our friend Dave the Wizard, who is going to DM for us this game.
What's up?
It's always been sort of our goals is to get new storytellers and to get new people running. It means we get to play. Jeff and I get to play on the same side for like one of the first times, which is kind of cool. And also something that has been requested a lot is to play something that somebody's making up. So Dave has created this, is it Naltha?
The world Naltha of Naltha? Naltha is the continent, yes.
Okay. So he sort of created this entire world and out of his head. He's got a lot of cool maps. He's going to do things a little differently. So he'll expose our listeners to some new DM tricks and storytelling and some new fun.
Jeff's getting twitchy because he doesn't know the lore of this world.
That's what the history check is for.
And in addition to a new DM, we've changed the composition up a little bit. Obviously, for the first time in... I did 149 episodes and you did like 80. So for the first time in like 200 and some episodes, it's not Jeff or I running D&D. So that's kind of fun. And we've got an old voice who was last seen in the middle of the North Atlantic on a jet ski, I believe. So Craig's back to join us.
That's my backstory.
A jet ski just motored up to the continent of Naltha. But yeah, anyway, I just wanted to acknowledge that. This is something that we've always talked about doing and we've accomplished sometimes and not. So we're super stoked to see what Nev Thelian has to offer. So that's all.
Yeah, that is the name of the campaign. And there's a few things different about the world, which we will get into as they come up. For the time being, though, Troy is also here.
Hi, I'm here.
And good?
Yeah, sure. It is your show. Mr. Wizard.
All right, then.
That guy was old.
The year is 1463 by Vire Reckoning. That reckoning is, of course, named for the Vire River and the region around it. It starts up in the Snowcrest Mountains, grows as it trickles down and passes Nivenfire, where barges load up goods and sail south. Tributaries flow into it as it goes, passing through rich and well-irrigated grasslands, until at last, as the largest river on the continent, the Vire empties out into the Mortal Basin. There, on the islands of the Vire's Delta, lies the ancient metropolitan and wealthy city of Valakur. It has been an independent city ever since Pharinaxis, an ancient brass dragon, saved it from an invasion over 1,000 years ago. Pharinaxis still rules the city, now as a kind of benevolent dictator, although the city council handles routine day-to-day matters. It's a city of bridges, with each of the islands connected to each other at many places, a city of culture, as all of the trade coming down the river inevitably brings with it people of every race and creed. And it's a city of the arcane, home to the prestigious Iron Rose University, the greatest arcane magical institution in Naltha. A forest gnome, named Kellen Delanos, is walking down one of those stone halls of the university one day, the 22nd of Midfjall, in fact, a breezy autumn day with a drizzle, when he is unexpectedly waylaid by a student who tells him that his presence is requested by none other than the Iron Master himself. When he arrives at the office of Rogan Savash, the Iron Master, he is immediately shown in. Three of the walls are filled with books and scrolls of every description, which are well organized. A brief glance at the closest shelf reveals a few titles. On the Authority of the Angovesta, a legal discussion of Valakur's greatest document, by Claire Blanchard, of course. The Brass Palace, a comprehensive history by Ingelvard Mottstein. Magic in the Delta, artifacts from before Valakur, by Velkatar Limpatel. The fourth wall, behind a massive oak desk, appears to be a massive silver mirror, and currently displayed on it is a view of what is likely the chamber of the Valakur City Council, seen as if from the ceiling. Standing in front of the wall is a tall, black-scaled dragonborn, who snaps his fingers as you walk in, and the image of the wall fades away, back to the mirror. Rogan turns and gestures for Kellen to take a seat, and slips into his own chair behind the desk. Mage Delanos, I have a task that needs doing, and I'm led to believe it's one you might find more interesting than simple research.
So I'm guessing the Iron Master, then, is this one of a number of leaders of the university, is it?
He is one of two, yes. There is the Iron Master and the Rose Master. The Iron Master is sort of like the... they're sort of like President and Prime Minister, in a way. One sees to, like, long-term and more important stuff, which is the Iron Master. And gotcha. The Rose Master attends to more routine day-to-day stuff.
Gotcha. So this is the
head honcho.
Correct. Any idea on the relationship that I have with the Iron Master?
You probably haven't met him before.
Okay. Does he have a title that he is referred to by? Or is it just Iron Master or Master?
You could use his name if you wanted to. It wouldn't be, like, inappropriate.
Gotcha. What can I do for you?
Well, I don't know if you've met Jonna Coinleaf. She's the Archmage of the Arcanum Historica Department. She's been up north in Larandor for over a year doing research. She appears to have written me a letter that's been traveling its way south for some time. I assume the sending spell or similar is not in her repertoire, so she dispatched a courier. When he arrived in Duervrod, the courier, he took it to a friend of mine in the hopes that it could be transmitted magically to me, as my friend informed him, and also me. The letter has the Magnifica seal on it, which means it's for the eyes of myself and the Rose Master only, and respecting that, of course, he didn't break it, and so the courier traveled on. He was due to arrive 4 days ago. He is not here. So, I think you can probably see where this is going. I need that letter.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying here. I guess, just again for context for me and the audience, so Coinleaf is located where, did you say?
Up north, north of Larandor, which is an elvish nation.
Coinleaf is the person, isn't it?
Yeah.
Correct. Jonna Coinleaf is her name.
And she was sort of a master here at the Iron Rose, or is she independent?
Yes, she is the Archmage of the Arcanum Historica Department, which is the History of Magic.
Gotcha. Archmage of History. Is there any idea what the Archmage was doing up there?
Yes, although that's not really relevant to the letter.
Uh-huh.
He stares at you as if,
I put out one tiny hand as if he should elaborate to see if he does.
Scrying the courier reveals nothing, which means he is most likely dead. Whatever the Archmage sent along was obviously important, however, so...
But we think it has no bearing to what she was actually doing up there.
I don't know. I haven't read the letter. If you happen across the courier and can return his corpse, I'm sure his family would appreciate it, and there'll be a bonus in it. But the letter's the primary target.
Yes.
You will likely want some help. The university will pay up to 4 others that you care to take along.
How convenient. I have 3 such individuals in mind who may be up to the task.
Excellent.
Now, who else knew about the courier coming in? Do we think this is an accident, or do we think that this is political assassination?
I have no reason to suspect that it was anything too dastardly. He was coming along the road from Mishluk, which is known for... The grasslands are known for their bandits and roving hooligans, whatever you want to call them. So it's likely that he was just killed by bandits, or perhaps... some creature like a manticore or ankhegs or something.
But you can't find him via scrying.
Correct. Mm. So unless someone with, you know, considerable magics is hiding him, he's likely dead.
Yeah. That never happens ever. So, again, looking at the map here that you provided, I'm assuming the dotted line is the road that he would have taken from Mishluk to Valakur.
Yep.
How many days travel is that between the two?
Well, given that a week ago he was fine, he's probably no more than about 120 miles out of the city.
Still a big search radius.
A few days of travel. I mean, I have no reason to suspect that he would have left the road.
So we're thinking, what, between there and the mountains then? Oh, okay. That's really neat. So that fork in the road there is roughly the starting point. Because if you haven't, he was supposed to be here in 4 days.
Right. Yes.
And where was the friend that was transmitting the message?
Oh, up in Duavrad, quite some ways.
I guess I'm confused. Over here. Okay. So he came down from the north, stopped in Duavrad. We know he made it to Mishluk, which is several hundred miles to the south.
Mm-hmm.
And was Mishluk his last known location?
No, I scried on him a week ago when he was on the road.
I see.
Had already made it past the forest.
Okay. So we're definitely in the grasslands then.
Yes.
Gotcha. Who else knew about the courier?
Just my friend in Duavrad.
You don't have any reason to suspect your friend of any malfeasance.
Oh, no.
People never do.
So for the audience, so they know, we're actually looking at a very detailed map that Dave's constructed. It's very impressive.
Yes, we're getting very fancy on Roll20 and whatnot. There's now a screen on the table for us to work with, and this is actually really cool.
So for context, I would say, I guess, you said 120 miles from Valakor to Mishluk?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying from Indy to Cincinnati, essentially, for like a sort of...
No. 120 miles is...
He drew it on the map. Did you see it a second ago?
It was 180 miles to the edge of the forest.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He can actually draw on there. So it's 77 miles to the fork in the road.
Okay.
As the crow flies from Valakur to Mishluk is about 550 miles.
Okay.
Ooh.
Like I said, it's a really, really big continent.
Yeah.
Because those are still in the same... Are those?
It's like it's a continent.
Mishluk is a half-orcish city.
In fucking D&D, it's always like, oh, 5 minutes from, wherever.
Then comparatively, if Valakor was Indy and Mishluk was Cincinnati, you would probably say the distance.
Minneapolis, maybe?
Well, I'm just saying.
Milwaukee, maybe?
For a reference for us Midwesterners, what does that say, the other place? Duavrad is probably the same distance to Columbus from Cincinnati.
You want me to get out Google Maps?
I'm just saying, relatively speaking, that's about. Yes. It's about
they
right.
basically form a triangle. I understand what Troy's trying to say. Valakur, Duavrad, mm-hmm. and Mishluk form a triangle. Clearly, Duavrad.
Like three times the distance.
Duavrad to Mishluk was down a sea, so it was probably faster to travel there than to travel along the coast.
Right.
There
is a coast road, but yeah, it would be a lot slower.
And then Mishluk, once you landed on the continent, you would have had to have marched across to get to Valakor. I'm assuming that the university will, of course, provide any necessities in terms of caravans and travel and other arrangements.
You're welcome to borrow mounts from the stable, although, of course, if you come back without them, that will come out of your pay.
Well, you'd have to get paid first. Absolutely.
Well, there's 200 gold in it for each of you, and a further 50 bonus if you can bring back the corpse.
Should it be moving when I bring it back, or should I bring it back in rest?
If a corpse is moving, probably have bigger problems.
Just depends on the wizard. Very well. I will see what I can do about rounding up a party and moving forward.
Thank you. I hope to hear from you, it's a good amount of travel, a couple of weeks.
I'm already pulling a pipe out and packing it and lighting it as I leave.
Okay.
To think. And I'll leave the Iron Master.
I thought that was the beginning of a sentence. Like, to think. And I thought...
I just didn't know if it would be rude or not to smoke in his office. While I'm there...
Probably not. It's the Middle Ages.
Can I...
Although,
Kellen
tobacco...
smokes a lot.
Tobacco is, a...
A cash crop?
Yeah, it's a bit of a luxury. But you are also a wizard in a fine magical institution that I have no doubt can afford such luxuries.
In terms of the scrying mirror, can I know anything about it in terms of making some sort of arcana roll or something?
You know off the bat that it's larger than any of you have ever seen before.
Well, for sure. I mean, it was like most of a wall.
Yeah, so it can't have been cheap.
And I'm guessing on the political implications, I guess arcana, is it... Can he scry on whatever he wants, or is it a legitimate scrying mirror, or is it targeted at the location he was looking at?
Roll Arcana for that, yeah.
First roll of a new game.
Hashtag first roll.
This sets the tone. That's a good roll. That's a 23.
Okay.
Wizard good at Arcana. Hashtag.
It seems that that was likely the scrying spell.
Gotcha.
Given how he dismissed it that easily.
And he was viewing what again?
It looked like it was probably the city council chamber.
Would they have known he was scrying? Like, is he watching C-SPAN, or is he doing some sort of Russian stuff here?
For that role history, From Arcana, you can know that the scrying spell can be used on a location, not necessarily a person. So as long as he's been there before, he can scry on it.
I'm just wondering if that would be normal, because it seems like that was more of the Russian spying. That's a 22.
You know that the discussions that happen in the council are public record, so it's not like he's getting access to something that he couldn't have otherwise, but there is obviously a certain advantage in him watching and them not knowing that he's watching.
Right. As I leave his office, are there any pages or anything around, like lackeys of some sort?
He has a secretary.
Okay, lackeys that don't directly answer to him.
Oh.
Would I, as a Magus, would I have lackeys of some sort?
You could probably intimidate a random student into helping you do something.
That sounds perfect. As I step back into the halls, I will immediately, while smoking furiously out of my pipe, jostle and physically harass the nearest student I can find. Okay. Preferably whatever is the freshman class.
Okay.
If I know them, even better.
You don't recognize them, but they're a rock gnome. It looks a little actually older than you. He has a neck tattoo, and as you get his attention, he's like, "What?
Need you to do something for me."
Sorry, sir.
Yes.
I'm just in a bit of a hurry.
Yes. I am a Magus. Yes. Authority figure. Yes.
What can I do for you, sir?
That doesn't go to Cody's head.
Yes. Are you aware of me, young one?
I'm aware that you're right in front of me, and also I'm not young.
Magus Delanos, wizard extraordinaire. I need you to do something for me.
What's that?
I'll make it worth your time. What's your name again?
Fobblin.
Fobblin. Excellent to meet you. How are you enjoying the university?
I am enjoying my studies,
good.
Sir.
Are you expecting to continue to enjoy your studies?
Yes.
Good. Let's see what I can do to help that. Please run to the city council and see if you can get me a copy of whatever the notes were of what they were discussing today. Off you go.
Where shall I find you, sir?
Do I have an office?
Probably not. You probably have a cubby in the library.
post office box. I've got to receive missives somewhere.
Yes, if you just want the stuff delivered, not necessarily to you in person.
There
would be like a post office.
Are you so new as to not have the message spell?
Sir, that only works within a certain range.
Yes, I know. I was hoping you were going to be within that range. Do me a favor. Get a copy of the notes in full and send them to this address.
Okay.
I'll know if you don't.
Of course.
Off you go.
All right.
Have a lovely day, Fablin. I look forward to teaching you someday soon.
Of course, sir. And he walks off in the other direction to the north.
Okay, so which one of these ass clowns do I know?
all of them. You're acquainted with everybody.
Who would be the shortest walk and or in the best bar?
Jeff also works at the university.
Yeah, that's probably a good start.
And also happens to have the title of mage.
It's unfortunate. I will go check.
I kind of thought this might happen, and I made sure to give you equal ranks.
really not fair. I will still lord it over Jeff.
Nice wizard too there.
Just for the two of you, I'm borrowing for somebody, and sooner or later you guys are going to figure it out. It's going to be great. But it's there. I will go find Jeff.
Okay.
I don't even know Jeff's character's name, so.
Jeff, what's your character?
Inari Genovial.
Inari Genovial.
And she works in the Arcanum Historica department.
Well, that's convenient.
Isn't it?
It's almost as if this has been set up.
No.
Actually, no. He told me what background he was taking before he knew what the premise was at all.
Are you...
All I was told is that somebody needs to be proficient in history.
And then he took it one step further.
Yep.
Are you... please describe your character.
A half-elf female. Auburn hair... Green eyes. Does not fit into the typical role of scholarly wizard.
Gotcha.
More field work than paperwork.
Gotcha. What's your charisma, Jeff?
17.
I'm going to try and find you without you necessarily seeing me.
Okay.
You want to roll a stealth check?
I mean, if you want to make me roll a stealth check, I will.
Well, what's your passive?
14.
Yeah, that's worth a check.
Better than you think. That's a nat 20. 23.
Oh, look, you have snuck up on the unsuspecting half-elf in the history department. This can end only well.
Absolutely. Where are you at, Jeff? Where is Inari right now?
Probably in a lab tinkering with some relic.
Sweet.
Oh boy, he's looking through his spell cards.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I gotta do that one first, right? You immediately hear a badass bass beat. Like a oomts, 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 followed by flashing lights. And I stroll in, strutting my stuff, because I have now literally created a discotheque for myself. Hey!
And
how's it hanging, sweet thing?
Oh my god.
She doesn't. She doesn't even budge until she finishes what she's doing, and she puts her things away, unperturbed by any of the jackassery that's going on behind her, and turns around, looks at you, and says, "What do you want?
What are you doing for the next few weeks?
Is this a
proposition?
Hold on,
let me answer that for you. Finding creative ways to earn 200 gold.
Listening.
And the favor of the Iron Master.
Hmm. What do you got?
The unsit stop. The dancing lights continue though, because it makes a nice effect.
Ambiance.
Do you know an archmage by the name Coinleaf?
Yeah, she's my boss.
So, any idea why she would have sent a courier with a sealed message to only be opened by the Iron Master?
Do I have any idea what she's doing up there?
Yeah. Yeah, like, probably not, like, any significant details, right. But
it's above my pay grade.
She has a grant to go looking for old documents pertaining to the history of magic. You know, it's her field. But particularly looking for old documents that might have slipped by other people's attention before. And she's gone farther north than a lot of scholars do, just because of climate and because of it's not as densely populated. Basically, it just doesn't see as much research happen. And so she has spent over a year and a half in the north trying to, like, going from place to place.
Okay.
Gathering stuff up.
So I'll relay that to, I'm sorry, what's your character?
Kellen.
Name? Kellen.
Also calls himself Kel.
Kel. Okay. Kellen.
Magus extraordinaire.
I'm never going to say that.
Which literally just means he's finished his apprenticeship.
Magus and wizard extraordinaire. Thank you. To describe myself, by the way, since I hadn't gotten to do that yet, primarily dark gray or black cloaks, the lovely little wizardy ones with all kinds of pockets. I carry around my neck a very tiny reliquary and crystal. In a necklace.
Tell me you have a hat that says wizard with two Z's on it.
No, but I'm going to get one now.
I really told you, I meant to tell you to read the Discworld books for inspiration on wizards.
Jet black hair, streaks of gray, green eyes, and almost constantly smoking. I meant to look up familiars because I want a familiar. I just don't know which one I want yet.
Okay.
I'm leaning towards bat. Huh?
What race are you?
No. I'm like, I literally put in my son's current dimensions, so I'm Kieran's height. So I'm like 2'10" and like 30 pounds. So that makes it even better when I'm grinding up on an elf who's how tall?
5'3".
Okay, so it's not that weird.
So your leg hump.
It's a little weird.
More than double.
Do what?
So you're leg humping.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
Ankle.
Just about grasping the thigh. Just about.
Hey, close enough to get the job done. I have mage hand for a reason. Mage shocker.
Oh my god. Wow. We don't need math.
No, we don't.
Yeah, but I'm just going to let it go and continue with the game. I'm not going to continue to make jokes. Because there's fisting. You get into all kinds of things. I was just going to leave it with the mage shocker and continue.
You didn't really leave it. Keep going.
I I totally lost the thread of what we were talking about. Yes. So I find it interesting that she would be sending some sort of letter expressly by courier to the Iron and Rose Masters.
How well do I know Jonah? Or John?
Jonah. You have probably met her on a number of occasions.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not enough to be, like, called a friend, but...
Well, no, but I know her work. I know mm-hmm. her level of proficiency and things like right. that. The sending spell is not something beyond her.
She is a wizard, so if it's not in her spellbook, it's not in her spellbook.
Right.
It's not beyond her power.
But somebody who is going off to the far reaches where people don't normally go and do this kind of work, you would think...
Right. So the common sense factors there are that it is far from civilization where she could possibly purchase a scroll. And she's also been gone for a year and a half. So if she had some, she probably has used them.
She's a wizard. If she'd bought scrolls, they'd have gone into her spell book.
Oh, good point.
So that the sending a physical courier doesn't...
Then maybe she's a sorcerer.
And that's one of the fun things of writing your own game. You're like, oh, shit. Oh, boy. That's awesome.
This doesn't ring like this is really weird?
No, it does not seem weird to you.
Okay.
Okay. That's what I wanted to establish first and foremost. That this wasn't like, holy shit, this is so sensitive, I can't possibly transmit it by magic. It's just something very important.
Strahd might be listening.
Right, yes. Yeah. That was what I was worried about. The big bad is listening somewhere.
If it wasn't important, though, she probably would have waited until she could have used a spell.
Yeah. Right. It's still very important, and it's still eyes only, but it's not like they were afraid of any magical means of transference. It just seemed like the most efficient way to do it.
So do we know anything about the courier?
Only what he told me. Almost next to nothing. I assume I got a general description?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
That he was... A dwarf.
We're not... It is a dwarf who... Okay. We're not looking for just random guy dead on the road. Over 180 miles.
I mean, when the Iron Master tells you to jump, I'd like to tell him to shove it, but I also like to get paid.
This wouldn't be somebody that had been working with her. This would have been somebody she just hired? Or is this somebody from the university?
Kellen didn't get the impression that it was another mage, that it was just a courier.
Okay.
Well, they gave me enough money. They promised me mounts. Of course, if we don't return them, then, comes out of my paycheck.
That sounds like a you problem.
Yes, it does.
Well, you mean you all get paid. You could all borrow mounts.
Right, I'm leaving some details, you know, up for debate in case I can leverage money from my fellow players. Yes, let's,
Awesome way to start this.
Yep. We're going to have one of them in the party.
Leverage nicely. Yes, I think we should probably bring in a few additionals. Perhaps we could find a good place to meet, the priest and the Tin Man.
Yeah, I like them. Where's a good bar around here?
Don't assume his gender.
There's one just right outside the university next to a bridge that a lot of mages favor called the Golden Swan.
Cool.
Well, come along, Dorothy. We're off to Oz.
Are you going to be the anachronistic one this time?
I just thought it was funny, so I wasn't going to let it go. We literally have a Tin Man.
Speaking of which... So you leave your, you know, you lock up your lab and head out of the university down along the quay. Well, that's not quite the right word. Also, as I've realized, it's not the right pronunciation. It's key. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know this until like last year. Anyway, you make it to the Golden Swan, which is a rather nice establishment with a stone facade, a warm, merry interior that usually has some light music going on in the corner. And usually random prestidigitation happening all over the bar because it's mostly mages in there. You find a warforged and a human at a table having a drink. Or, well, one of them's having a drink.
I'll be sitting there tinkering.
I assume that we are known here.
Sure.
I will signal to the nearest barmaid or barman or bar person, for a drink and then indicate mm-hmm. that the Warforged is paying for it.
Okay.
I'm paying you no attention, so I don't even know that.
Absolutely. That's the plan. I like the idea of a Warforged who has no reason to drink anything ending up with a significant bar tab.
Please tell me that when you order drinks here, they float to you.
Well, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get drinks a few minutes later. In the meantime, you sit down. You want to describe your characters?
Yes. My name's Alec. I'm a human cleric of the Arcana domain. About 5'11". I want to make myself actually older than my plate, so I'm about late 40s.
Okay.
Red hair, fair skin, pretty decent shape.
What'd you say your name was again?
Alec
Baldwin.
My character is Rook, a warforged fighter and artificer, a soldier in an old war, and I now tinkers with gadgets, and I have a pet iron dog as well.
I think I'm going to go with Owl for my familiar.
Okay. Works for me. Let me know when you come up with a name.
Oh, I'm sure I'll come up with a pun here shortly.
I'll bet you can't.
We've had Owlbert before.
And Owlivia.
And Owlivia.
Alfred.
Alfred isn't too bad. I might take Alfred.
Yeah, appearance-wise, I'm a mixture of iron, dark wood, and organic material.
Nice.
And the dog is similarly warforged like me.
Is it still morning?
Sure.
Starting early, I like it.
Spreading the word as early as we can.
Cheers.
I don't say anything to you.
Which god do you worship?
What did I say? Azuth. Azuth.
Okay.
Okay, so you sit down. You gonna
propose
anything?
Rook, what are you working on?
Oh, just a little something to probably sell.
Do you want a job?
I don't need a job.
No, but you need money.
I don't need money.
Well, you're probably right. Do you want a job?
I mean, I suppose some income wouldn't hurt. What kind of job are you proposing?
One that's worth about 200 gold and maybe a couple weeks of travel out and back.
What's the job?
When you find a dead guy. Dead dwarf.
Supposedly dead.
Why?
Possibly dead.
Most likely dead.
Probably dead. he's got a note that is of importance to the university. We need to get that note back.
What kind of importance?
It's a great question. Once we find it, I'll open it up and read it and we'll find out.
Okay, I'm sold.
Inari is eyeing you.
It's fine. So I guess gather things and leave on the morrow. Unless there's anything else that needs to be done.
No, I'm good.
All right, well.
These drinks arrive.
I look at the warhorse. Cheers. And promptly down it. And if there's no further discussion, I say looking to the rest of you, I've got to go see a man about some notes about the city council.
When shall we meet you?
I don't know Valakor very well, but I'm assuming let's meet at the Iron Rose Stables.
Well, let's see.
Do you have a fancy schmancy map?
This is one I actually never got around to finishing, but kind of.
Okay, so we're on a network of, like, islands and deltas and stuff.
Yeah, you are in the delta of the river.
Gotcha.
Nice.
And the Iron Rose is down in that corner. It's close to the coast, the shore.
Gotcha. So meeting at the Iron Rose doesn't hurt because it will put us right on land, and then we can travel from there.
Yeah, you could take the road basically straight east and be out of the city right away.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Is there any purchasing or stuff that you want to do before you leave?
Do you have any magical items that can help us on the quest?
Yes!
He asked the Warforged, who can create magical items?
I make my own magical items.
You have like any of those walking ducks that explode?
Just stuff for the road.
I don't know.
I don't know how tightly you're going to keep track of rations and stuff like that.
When you get up farther north, I might care a bit more. Right now, I don't really care.
Okay.
Yeah. Once we leave Valakor, I mean, obviously this map is way zoomed out. Are we, like, in the wilderness, or are we traveling through fairly habited countryside, or...?
Along the road will be habited enough that it'd be pretty easy for you to find a meal somewhere.
Okay. So, I mean, if we get a
It might just be someone's cottage that you, you know, pay them a silver to stay the night or something.
But. Are you doing rations in 10 days? Or, I mean, are you doing, is your calendar in 10 days like in D&D, or are you doing it 7 days a week?
7 days, because that makes more sense.
It's way more logical, yeah.
For us.
Well, maybe not logical. Would be in tens, but.
Napoleon tried it and it didn't work.
Well, I don't need rations, and I can carry a lot, so I'm happy to carry extra rations for other people.
I expected it. Yeah, I'm going to go see if I can't... Well, first I want to see if he's got my... Well, I probably have to wait till the afternoon for him to get all the notes or whatever, but see if we just can't get a week's worth of rations for three people, maybe 10 days worth of rations for three people, assuming we'll have a few meals on the road, and then try and arrange for mounts to make it a little faster, a little easier. At least for my short leg.
Do you want to buy
ass.
Mounts, or do you want to take up the Iron Master on his offer of loaning them?
I'll take up the Iron Master.
Okay.
That's why I was going to have them meet me at the university, so we can...
Is it fair to assume that those would come with saddles and riding bags and all the... Okay. I actually, being a cavalier and having animal handling, I will go, and nothing else to do, I'll go actually hang out at the... Where is it? We said to keep horses?
Stables.
The stable. No. I'll go over to the stables and help prepare the horses.
Okay, sure. And pack up whatever rations you end up buying, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling to where rations are.
It's like 10 for a gold or something like that.
Not super expensive.
5 silver for a day, so it'd be 5 gold for 10 days.
Gotta eat. I suppose you want me to take that off my character sheet somewhere, huh?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's see here.
I mean, it is a whole day's worth, not just one meal.
Yes. Not a whole lot of starting gold there.
How much did he give you to start?
How much do I have?
Yeah. I thought he said, did he not give you a...
No, it's whatever your background and class gives you.
Okay.
Yeah, I started out with 25.
Where's gold on the sheet? I apparently have no gold?
It's on the very first page.
I mean, what? You're a wizard, so that will give you something. And then, what's your background? Oh,
on the first page, down below languages. Carried coinage.
It's also on the bottom right of the first page of the character sheet.
Carried coinage for me says 0.
Well, you have to put it in.
Ah.
The only thing it would tell you is for background.
Oh, background gold.
Well, background gold is 0.
So,
which makes sense for you.
For a wizard, your starting gold is 44 times 10.
Your background is not exactly a profession.
That's true.
I didn't read that well enough.
Yep, I didn't realize I had to put that in. So I'm rolling 4d4, you said?
And then multiply it times 10.
Nice. 1. Holy crap, do I only have 1d4? That can't be right. 2, 3, 4.
Got him? Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
How do you figure your gold?
Here. It's different for each character.
Okay. 5d4.
That is a huge d20.
6. I know, I love 8, it. 8. 9. So you said by 10? So 90.
Yeah, 90 gold. 30. Do you only use it for important roles, or what's
like
the protocol?
I like it in, what am I thinking of? That, the system I wrote. What's it called? man, I'm blinking so bad. You've got a copy of it, Cody. What's that system I run?
It's not showing up in coinage, which surprised me, on the sheet. Oh, there, just popped it. Never
mind.
So you said 5 for a week, right?
Yeah, for 10 days.
For 10 days.
Numenera.
Oh, yeah.
That and its sister systems are all d20
Cipher,
based.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't roll anything other than d20. Mm-hmm. So I just have that as a table, d20, for the party to roll one out.
Cool.
All right, where the hell?
How much did you end up with, Troy?
135.
Nice.
Nice.
So minus 5 for the...
Yep. Although your background may have started you with some? Question mark?
The background didn't. I do have, with the priest pack, I mean, that comes with being a cleric, I had 2 rations. So
you either get that starting gold, or you get the starting equipment. Not both.
Oh, that's what it is.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, well, never mind then.
You're 7th level. You can have it.
Okay.
Do I...
You can have both.
Is there a way to auto-put that in my equipment or something somehow? Or do I have to type it
that,
in?
That starting equipment?
Well, I see starting equipment popped in there. Is there another place I should be calculating it from on the sheet, or do I just need to put...
One sec.
So, none of my stuff gave me any So I didn't get any rations, which is why I wanted to buy 10 anyway.
Right, right.
So do I? I just need to put it in here then.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was making sure. When you start typing rations, it should start populating. But it doesn't. I think they weigh a half pound each.
2 pounds each.
Oh, 2 pounds.
20 pounds of food.
That's a lot to eat in 10 days.
It's a lot of food. But then again, they are trail rations. Therefore, when you're out and about being active.
Well, that's also 3 meals.
Yes, also that.
Still, though, that just seems like a lot.
It
but whatever.
They're all in metal tins. Clanking about in big backpacks.
So this is kind of weird. And
that's a card?
I cast Mage Armor whenever we get that far.
Okay. Hey, the next day when you're setting out?
Yeah, I'm just going to keep going, hey, I cast Mage Armor.
Yeah, so am I.
Hey, I cast Mage Armor.
Okay.
Hey, I cast Mage Armor.
What do you cast?
Mage Armor.
Woo!
Do. I got to figure out what my AC is when I do.
Yeah, that would be good. It's 13 plus dex.
Nice. 16.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. Which is one other reason why the Warcaster feat is great, because then you can have a shield and boost it to like 18.
There's no way to mark daily use spells, though. I should probably just keep a list of them.
Right. So is there, sorry, side note, is there something I'm missing about,
Oh, holy shit, I didn't even know this was down here.
What?
Sorry.
I never scrolled down past the whole, like, abilities and stuff on Charforge. Oh, my spells are down there, and they tell me what they do.
Yeah, imagine that.
It just seemed like the end, because I was like, oh, I got to a big white space, it's all done. And I was like, wait a second, is there a place where I can take notes? Oh my god!
Whoever edits this, enter that ding sound that we do for Matt.
That's fair. Like, I absolutely...
Oh my god, Cody is the new Matt.
let's be careful here, okay? That's kind of rude.
Seems accurate so far.
It's kind of rude. None of you are looking at it. Well, I guess technically Jeff's looking at it on a tablet.
So is there something I'm missing about... Do magic weapons use, like, intelligence instead of strength modifier?
For artificers, for battlesmiths in particular... Yes, they can use intelligence.
Can.
Don't have to.
Because when I...
So if your strength is better, use strength.
Well, when I... in Character Forge, when I look at the weapons, when I tell it it's now enchanted, it actually drops the attack bonus instead of raising it.
I know when I was doing it with that's Warlock, odd. There was a checkbox to use Charisma
instead
of strength.
Okay.
But I don't know if Artificer does the same thing.
It should show up with a use intelligence modifier.
I have a checkbox for
or
Battlesmith.
Yeah.
If it's, but it drops my attack bonus from +7 to +6 when I turn on.
Well, probably because your strength is higher than your intelligence, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So you wouldn't want to use it.
So.
If your intelligence was higher, then you would want to.
But I can still enchant it. So, there's just a problem here.
What, because it's a +1 weapon?
Yeah.
You can still mark it as a +1 weapon, and then it'll go up.
Yeah.
There's, I think, a bonus field. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of me, I'm just waiting for...
Okay, anybody else doing anything in town before you head out? You did want to check up on the letter.
Yeah, I want to decide letter, if I have to make Favillon's life a living hell or not, to see if he got me my notes.
Okay. Anything else anyone wants to hit up?
Nope, just finishing up.
Rook, at the Golden Swan, you're given a bill. You've never had a bill here before.
That's probably not true.
I'm going to look at it in confusion.
But the gnome said you were on your tab.
Why would he do that?
He was sitting with you? I thought you were friends. I've seen you here before talking together.
I don't understand.
Well, you owe us money, so please pay us money.
I would pay them. It sounds like the Golden Swan has connections with the mafia.
How much?
So here's what. Here's
the bill.
It's for like 5 silver.
Okay, that's not a problem.
Thank you.
Can I offer him one of my trinkets in place?
Sure.
Okay.
It's like, sure. I'll sell it to some of the kids outside.
Do those explode?
So this is one of those hey, it's a new world things. Dwarvish is Russian, just because I did that a while ago and I've liked it and I've gotten good with my Russian accents.
It's different than the usual Scottish.
It's because it's oh,
I don't know, I always thought of Durgar as German, but
The best dwarf of all time is still Billy Connolly. So as far as I'm concerned, Billy Connolly is all dwarves. Dwarves speak specifically. Men, women, children, old, young, all speak like Billy Connolly.
But so if you hear someone named like Evelina Tamakina, it's probably a dwarf.
Nice.
Okay. So you head back to the university. It's been probably an hour, hour and a half. You swing by the post office, and there, aside from the usual stuff that is annoying and you never want to see
Bill,
in your cubby.
Bill, I just keep throwing them in the trash.
There is also a new scroll rolled up there, which you take out, and it is, lo and behold, a copy of the minutes from the city council's meeting, where they are discussing, basically it's one long discussion about whether or not the tariffs on traffic coming down the river should be raised or not.
So that would be the what is that? The Vire?
The Vire River, yeah.
Okay.
And it is it's the largest river on the continent. It is very full of barges all the time. As the river starts almost up by Nivenfire, which is also a very large city, and a whole bunch of traffic from there and everything along the way just comes down the river.
So they're charging so I'm assuming the river flows south there, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what tariffs just to bring them into Valakor or tariffs to ship them through Valakor?
Both.
Okay. Is this the last port of call since it is the Delta, or are they going elsewhere from here?
It's everything, all the barges that come down the river usually end up either in Valakor or on ships headed elsewhere.
Gotcha. Okay. So this is the last port of call for barges. So this is predominantly going to affect barge shipments,
right,
and the merchants who are...
Although theoretically, if the price is raised on those, then it might also raise elsewhere.
For sure. I take a little note basically asking why the Iron Master would concern himself with such things, and then I stuff it away in, do I have a dorm room or something at the Iron Rose? Or do I have a separate home?
That is up to you. Would you like to live on campus?
He's kind of a cheapskate, so if it's cheaper to live on campus,
it would definitely be cheaper.
Yes. Fair enough.
It is stereotypically a student thing.
That's fair.
So
I probably do whatever I can magically to annoy the shit out of anyone so they leave me alone.
All right. So the following morning, you get your loaned horses from the stable, saddle up, and head out east along the road, going up across the grasslands. It is not too long before, the river fades in from hearing and then from sight behind you, and you just have the occasional wagon and caravan here along the road. The caravans tend to be pretty well guarded because of threat from aforesaid bandits. The random travelers, of course, don't necessarily have that luxury, so they tend to try to group together, but those aren't necessarily defended. They're just hoping for protection in numbers.
Do you guys want to establish some sort of marching order, or does it matter, you think?
Probably not a bad idea.
If I can send Owlbert on general reconnaissance, I will.
Alfred.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, Owlfred. It's going to take me a minute because we had an Owlbert for a long, long time until Jeff flew him into a wall.
Familiars can come back.
Yep.
It was very funny to have him break his neck by flying through the darkness, and it was a good time. So Owlfred, if he can fly some sort of reconnaissance, I would have him doing that.
Do you want to keep him within the mile range for telepathy, or do you want to have him range even further afield?
No, a mile. Maybe even less than that.
Okay.
Just what is the
high
range?
Up, basically. Yeah.
What is the range for being able to see through his eyes?
I thought it was a mile.
I think it's 100 feet.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's a significantly closer. Just because the thing is if this guy did get ambushed, it's not like they're going to be sitting on the road. So I'm kind of thinking having the owl swoop, sort of a grid pattern over the top of us just looking around. I don't expect to find
swoopage.
Anything.
Is anybody good at survival?
Not the
good
skill.
Question.
decent, I suppose. Yeah. Plus five.
Yeah, you're right. I'm proficient in it.
It is 100 feet. You're right.
Okay. So yeah, probably just swooping like a 2 mile range, Dave. So like a mile to the road generally heads north, right? So like a mile to the west. Swing back over a mile to the east, just kind of gliding back and forth.
Okay. So are you looking for anything in particular or just anything odd?
Anything odd. We don't expect, because it's how many days to that fork in the road?
Probably at least three.
Yeah, so we don't expect to see signs of him for at least another 3 days, probably. So,
well, that's an assumption,
right?
But we should keep an eye on the trail for signs of some kind of somebody getting killed or getting pulled off the trail.
Right. No, I don't disagree. I'm just, that's the most that I can do anyway.
Well, okay. We're on the subject, so my just like standard default is my iron dog, which I've named Claw, by the way.
Claw or Claude? Yeah.
Claw.
Along the la patria.
Generally goes a bit in front.
Okay. How much in front?
I think the max it's ranged to be away from is 60 feet, but like half that, probably just as a standard.
Okay.
He likes to go out in front, do a little bit of scouting.
Hit all the traps.
Yeah. That is like nothing on Mr. Mile Owl.
Out of curiosity, do you have the mending cantrip?
No, because it takes lodestones, and lodestones are really expensive.
It takes lodestone? What?
Yeah, in the materials.
Really?
And they're like at least 100 apiece.
What?
That seems ridiculous. And it takes 2 of them to cast it. So mending is actually really expensive.
This has ramifications for me, because I'm playing one.
like if you ruled that lodestones were not needed, then it would be an amazing cantrip. But otherwise, it's like $200... Or 200 gold per cantrip.
Well, it doesn't have a gold cost next to the materials, which usually means that you don't have to pay for it. It just comes out of your material component pouch.
Can he...
Yeah, I mean, if it doesn't give a monetary cost, then it's not consumed each time. It's just something you carry with you and you use each time.
You would have to have two loads.
You have to have lodestones, but they don't get expended.
Yep. Right.
Well, see, I thought they did because in other spells where lodestones are used, they have a limited number of uses.
It doesn't say anything about the components being consumed, which it usually does if they are. So, and also it's a cantrip. You should be able to use it, like, unlimited number of times.
Say, does Artificer not have an arcane focus or anything like that?
He does.
So if you have an arcane focus, you can use your arcane focus as a substitute for material components as long as you're not separated from your arcane focus.
I did not that know too. That.
As yep. long as it doesn't have a gold cost. So,
yep.
like, identify... You have to burn.
You don't even have to burn it. You just have to have a pearl worth 100 gold.
Well, in that case, yeah, I was intending to take mending, and I just thought it was priced out of usefulness.
If you want
to
change that, now's the time.
I will change that.
One question I had, just because I'm still fairly new at
cleric
and spellcasting.
Cleric.
When it says that I can cast a spell as a ritual,
mm-hmm.
does that just mean? It doesn't come off of my spell list when used, or my spell count?
You have to have it prepared.
Right.
But if you do, you can spend 10 extra minutes to cast it.
Right.
And then it doesn't use a spell slot.
Right. That's what I was... Yeah. That's what I figured.
So it's basically you're never going to do this in combat.
Right.
But if you're not in combat, hey.
Right. Like, so if I wanted to do just a spell as we're doing something now...
It's useful for Identify, for instance.
Gotcha. That's what I thought, but just wanted to...
That's interesting. I always thought that in monetary... cost got consumed by the spell.
As you said that, I was looking and like resistance says it has a material component, but it doesn't list what that is. It just says M.
Have a gold cost next to it, it doesn't honestly matter that much.
Yeah.
And don't worry, Craig, I'm not going to constantly steal drinks off of you. I'm just doing my best to establish Kellen Delanos in all of his glory.
Resistance is a miniature cloak.
Oh. That makes kind of sense, because there's a Cloak of Resistance as a magic item. You're like, this is a little tiny version of that. It lasts for, like, 1 minute.
Yeah. In the book, it'll just say.
Okay. Well, it did on some of these in here, so that's what...
Okay. That just makes me think of, like, some mom who, like, knits tiny little cloaks because she can sell them to the alchemist.
The spell consumes.
That one's consumed. It says, I remember that. But I didn't remember that, at least out on the app, most of these didn't say that. So
that would be a little profession, just knit little magical cloaks.
Yeah. It's like nobody else needs little tiny magical cloaks that are like 4 inches high.
Oh, my.
My.
I don't know. Is it relative to character size?
That's a good question. I don't know. Is it proportional?
I mean, really, really large things have to actually use a cloak of resistance as opposed to a miniature cloak.
I mean, I
couldn't find a fake one.
Just steal yours. and
right.
it'd be all good.
I don't even need a miniature cloak. I need a tag.
I was gonna say, you have like a
piece of cheesecloth.
A gnome knitting an even tinier.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Did we establish a marching order before Jeff tries to punish us for not doing so, or Dave tries to punish us for not doing so? Do we care? Spells I have range, but otherwise I'm
generally happy to lead the charge because I'm the tankiest of tanks.
Right.
Okay.
Makes sense.
I mean, the interesting thing is that, surprisingly, the cleric may want to be in back to let you two be, DPS and tank.
Yeah. I'll stay right behind the tank. But
did you end up taking durable?
No, I ended up going with sentinel.
Okay.
I think I'll take durable at the next.
Sentinel is next still level? Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So...
Tank.
So you two are in front, you turn back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that puts Rook and Inara. I'm assuming we can at least ride two wide.
Oh, yeah.
If we could ride four wide, then we could kind of look badass all riding at the same time.
Album cover.
Full Horseman of the Apocalypse.
Especially because you got to realize that I'm probably not actually on a horse, or if I am, I'm probably having control
of riding it.
I've got to be on a pony.
He's on a donkey. Yeah.
You're on a mastiff.
You're on a mastiff.
For pony.
Say Bernard.
Are camels on this continent?
Probably not.
War pick.
Oh, I would totally take a war boar.
So this is a little bit of a deviation. My artificer that I'm playing in the other campaign is a small creature, which means I can ride my iron defender.
Nice.
So I have a warthog, who's named Mr. Pig.
Yes. I should.
They call me.
Exactly.
I missed the chance to call it Miss Piggy. Just like, let me introduce you to Miss Piggy.
Do you guys play Magic actively?
Not anymore. Now. Used to.
The last set that came out, they released a set of gods. And four of them are from the ancient Egypt mythos. Mm. But the fifth one that they transported for the Giant War of the Spark is a huge set. But they didn't have a god for red, so they just made up a boar god. It's pretty badass.
Absolutely. No, boars are sweet. So yes, I'm doing my best to keep up on my pony / mastiff / war boar.
Okay. All right, so montage. Dun 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 dun. As you go down the road,
I don't imagine it's nearly that dramatic.
It's not really. We smash cut to no music and then just clip clop clip clop clip clop.
It's way more Monty Python, I think, than it is Lord of the Rings.
And you could get coconuts, you know.
Oh, he's putting X's on the board.
That's you. That's your party.
I know.
It is about 88 degrees out. It is not. It's not cool, and you're in grassland. You have no shade. It is very hot and kind of exhausting as you spend the whole day just under the beating sun.
Have any of you ever ridden out this way before?
Can't say I have.
I don't know. Where have I worked?
Well, that's up to you. You live in Valakur. How far afield you've gone is kind of up to you.
Yeah, I probably would have gone out this way.
Is there an ale in this direction, or... Quite warm today.
You know, the first inn is at that crossroads. Until then, it's pretty much just farmers and their cottages.
Oh, there you go.
For God's sake. Does your religion do the water into wine thing?
Not exactly.
You can prestidigitation your own water skin into wine.
You can make it taste like wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it won't actually get you intoxicated.
You're missing out on all the best qualities wine has to offer.
You create food and drink. I don't know if that includes alcohol. You'd have to check the spell. That would be kind of hilarious, though. But that does use a slot, I think.
Prestidigitation's on my list, but I didn't actually take prestidigitation.
Yeah, I did.
Took minor illusion instead.
Now I'm super curious about whether you can create alcohol.
It's just food and just water.
Oh, just water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although it does give you feed for your steeds.
Man. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but imagine creating food and drink and making goddamn slushies. How cool would that be right now? It's like create food and drink. It's non-specific. I create ice cream and slushies for our party in the heat.
I do think it's reasonable that you could prestidigitate water into cold water. You just lower its temperature.
I have shape water. I can freeze whatever that water would work I too. Want.
Yeah.
I could create water, but I'd have to re-prepare my spell list.
Which you can do the following day. The first day you, other than the blazing heat. There's nothing remarkable. You pass a whole bunch of people on the road. A lot of them aren't mounted, or if they are, they're on like wagons and so on. There's not a whole lot of just riders.
Traders.
Yep, a lot of merchants. You're guessing that most of them are probably heading up towards Moutier and Lures as opposed to going east.
Gotcha.
A, because it's closer, and B, because there's no river next to it, so we can't exactly bring stuff in that way.
I guess I was going to say, in terms of Alfred, mostly looking for ambushes.
Okay.
You know, sort of give him as best impression I can say as I can. Hey, if you're seeing humans off the side of the road or humanoids off the side of the road, like looking towards the road, not doing anything, I'd like to know, please.
Yeah. You do occasionally throughout the day go through like really small little clumps of trees. And whenever you come across those areas, there's plenty of people. Some of them are just resting. Some of whom have been camping out there. It kind of like a picnic area in a state park.
The just, rest areas.
It's a lot of people, a lot of tents set up and so on and so forth.
I was just going to say, I assume we bother at least taking 5 minutes, A, to rest, and B, to see if they've seen anything.
Sure.
I don't know if anyone has investigation or social skills. We've seen my social skills thus far.
Hashtag wizard.
The other thing, I just say, like, I like this alternative, which, I mean, I would be changing this completely, but...
Oh, holy shit, my investigation's really good.
Character sheet that groups the skills in with the specific one. It's just, to me, it's like a lot easier to figure out which one goes with which one. It says right next to it, but...
But yeah, I assume we'll just ask around if anyone... Anybody seen a dwarf?
Sure. You want to roll an investigation check?
Yes, I would. That's another skill I'm trained in.
I will help.
Cool. Then give yourself advantage.
Thank you, Jeff. That is a 27.
Nice, as they say.
Is that a regional dialect in right. in Nalda? Nice!
probably from Eltonshire. It takes a bit of asking around. Most of the people you're talking to are coming from that north road. Uh-huh. You do eventually find some people that have come from the Mishluk side. And, you know, like six conversations deep, you talk to a group that said, oh, right, wasn't there that... There was a wagon that was turned over that one place. Hey, it seemed like it mostly been picked clean, but it was there. Bit smashed up.
Do they describe where it's at?
Oh, they both look at each other and then they start arguing about how far back down the road it was. It's like, no. And then eventually you sort of get the gist that probably not more than a day up the road, but the exact mileage, you can't really make heads or tails of from them.
Gotcha.
Our title track, They Left Me In Here, was composed by Daniel Rann as part of the Beyond Skyrim Bruma original soundtrack and is being utilized under Creative Commons 4 Attribution Sharealike license. Enjoy what you heard? Check us out online at rancorsbrothel.com and the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share this show with your friends. Want to chat? Follow us on Twitter at rancors_brothel or by emailing therancorsbrothel@gmail.com. To interact with other fans, check out the Fans of the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, everybody.